Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Got some messages in here this morning, and you guys need to call in. 406-294-0970 is the number. We've got completely open phones. We will get you on the air right away. We got Right On John here from Los Angeles. He says, CBS did a story on the Nasty Nine making them look really good. Yeah, my question right back to John would be, was it main CBS, like national CBS, or a local CBS station? That'd be really interesting to know, but it's not surprising at all. And once again, that's just historical. Yeah, you look back, any, in big quotes, Republicans out there who ever betray their party and side with Democrats are always considered heroes by the media. They are always completely propped up by them and lauded as heroes and given glowing puff pieces and all that. That's just what they do because they're trying to encourage more of it. Let's see, we have another message here. Morgan from Helena. Montana has very little transparency and accountability avenues for nonprofits receiving taxpayer funding. Ever tried to track actual funding and the specific expenditures from any state agency or nonprofit or what they actually do? Nonprofit fraud is not just a Minnesota problem. How much of the increased state spending will flow to nonprofits? Yeah, absolutely, Morgan, 100%. And we've been saying this for over a year. When President Trump first won the election back in November, is that if you made me king of the world, made me head of the FBI, whatever, that would be my marching orders, is I would be dedicating a large portion of my agent corps to taking down the entire corrupt Democrat NGO network. Because it's not only waste, fraud, and abuse of billions of our tax dollars, but it is also funding all the domestic terror out there. It's funding the illegal alien invasion. It's still propping them all up here in our country to this day. The whole thing has got to be ripped down to the floorboards. And see, the thing about it is, these guys are committing crimes every single day with this money. They're committing fraud and wire fraud and embezzlement and God knows what else with all this money. But see, you know why they don't do it? You know why they're not going after any of this? I'll give you one guess. It's because Republicans are up to their neck in this too. They got their own little honeypots. Did you hear when back last year when Elon Musk was taking down USAID, it came out Lindsey Graham's got a $100 million foundation through USAID money. They're all in on it.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Got another message in here from Free Northman on X. It says, this is Dave from Eureka, Free Northman. There were three Minnesota Somali fraud cases brought to court. Two of them were basically dismissed by leftist judges, and a third that had a jury trial. The jury found them guilty on all charges, and the judge stepped in and nullified the verdict and released the perps. Yeah, I saw that story, Dave, and I didn't see the exact details on it, but I saw that three judges had been involved in dismissing these fraud cases already against the Somalis. And I mean, the corruption up there in these leftist deep blue states all around the country is just not to be believed. And as we all see, it goes right to every single institution. Those people wearing the black robes in those august courtrooms, all they are is radical leftist activists wearing robes. That's all they are. The days that we grew up, if you're a certain age, that judge in that courtroom was a revered, brilliant legal mind. He was probably one of the best legal minds out there. Had worked in as a private lawyer himself and probably a prosecutor for 10, 20 years, and that's why he was given that job. That is no more. The majority of these people are given these jobs just because of their party affiliation and who they're going to be loyal to and how they're going to rule on these cases, and that's it. Doesn't have anything to do with their legal scholarship. All you have to do is look at Ketanji Brown Jackson to see that. But on more on the Somali story, what's come out too is, got a little into this a little bit in the earlier hours, but you guys know who Tom Emmer is? I bet you most people don't. He's, believe it or not, he's the number three ranking Republican in the House of Representatives. He is high leadership. He is the House Majority Whip, just underneath our boy Mike Johnson. And he's been out here in the last few days. You've seen him out here on Fox News, spouting off. He's from Minnesota. He's spouting off about, oh, my gosh, look at all this crime and corruption and fraud. We have to do something about this, and by God, I'm gonna pound my fist on the table, and we have to do something about this. Well, they just did a little digging on him, and they got him back in a town hall back in 2015, telling concerned citizens who were complaining about all these Somalis back then, telling them basically just suck it up and accept it. These people are coming in here no matter what, and they're going to be just like German immigrants. The German immigrants that came to Minnesota, they're going to come in here and assimilate and work hard, and it's not going to be a problem at all. And then another thing that's come out this morning is that also back in 2015, Tom Emmer co-founded the bipartisan Congressional Somalia Caucus in 2015 alongside Keith Ellison, aimed at pumping U.S. taxpayer money into Somalia and the mass invasion resettlement programs. Okay, so You Minnesotans out there and all the people in these other communities, understand that this is not just done to you by Joe Biden and Democrats. It's with the complete buy-in of Republicans. Just look at the governor, Mike DeWine of Ohio, who was all in on bringing these tens of thousands of Haitians into Ohio, and the Somalis are also there in Ohio as well, effectively destroying several towns there, absolutely destroying their way of life, their property values, and all that. So when you are looking at who's to blame for all of this, understand that you've got several of your big-time Republicans that are in on this, because you couldn't do, like, say, where you have a Republican governor of a state, sure enough, you could get individual dribs and drabs of different illegals and people being placed into your communities, but you're not going to get some big mass movement of them, thousands and thousands, without the buy-in of the communities, without the buy-in of the governor and the political machine in those states. That's how they did all of this. And to make it even better, you guys won't believe, next month, you know who's going to take the rotating presidency of the UN Security Council? That's going to be Somalia. they're going to be for a month, because I guess it rotates, they're going to be the president of the UN Security Council for a month. Can you imagine that? This bunch of savages who are just barely out of the cave status over there are going to be president of the UN Security Council for a month. The UN is such a joke. It has been a joke for my entire life. And yet somehow we just keep on propping this thing up, keep on allowing it on our soil, keep on funding it. That's one thing President Trump needs to do right now. Get rid of that thing.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Major breaking news right here from Zero Hedge. Right in the middle of the face-to-face meeting between Zelensky and Trump yesterday, the Kremlin is now alleging that Ukraine launched a major drone attack on President Putin's official residence in the Novgorod region from Sunday night into Monday. It is presumably one of many of his residents, and there's no indication he was there when the alleged attack occurred. This was 91 drones targeting Putin's residence in what's described as a sustained attack spanning hours. But all of them were destroyed by significant anti-air defenses. Moscow says it will now revise its negotiating position on ending the war in Ukraine after what it dubbed as the overnight terrorist attack. Unfortunately, you've seen this happen over and over again. This, every time President Trump tries to get into this, something will happen. One side or the other, and you don't know. You don't know for sure. One side or the other will initiate an attack. And is always then followed by a response that effectively blows up any kind of negotiations going on. It happens almost every time. Every time there's some kind of meeting, some kind of sit down, and I've lost count of it, how many times they were doing this. It's got to be four or five times where they're actively sitting down doing this stuff. Every time there'll be another attack by one side or the other will attack, and the other side will then respond, and so it effectively blows up all any kind of goodwill they had with these negotiations. And you can't believe that's a coincidence. It has to be purposeful. Now, who is doing it? We don't know. We don't know if this is done exclusively by Ukraine or take it done by Russia to blow up the whole thing. All we know is that somebody attacks somebody and then they respond. And that tells you everything you need to know about what we've been saying for forever, that this is not going to end, because too many forces out there don't want it to end. And as long as the money can keep flowing, and they'll get the Europeans to back Zelensky. I saw the other day there's some report that they're already going to lend him, in big quotes, lend him over $100 billion. So as long as he keeps getting that money, I mean, he could effectively tell the U.S. and President Trump, you know, whatever, we'll see you, we're out. That could happen right there. It's really, you want to blow up a peace negotiation? Try targeting for assassination the president of the country that you're trying to make peace with. That's call me crazy, but I think they're going to take that personally. They might take that just a little personally, right? Let's see. We got Bob in Bozeman here, got a call-in message. Says, all the state has to do to look for corruption is the Montana State Fund Workers' Comp Court and the Water Court. They aren't in the Constitution and were put in place by our corrupt courts and officials. The justice you get is the justice you vote for, and you deserve what you vote for. All these judges making these rulings were voted in. Bingo, Bob. They have Yahtzee, Deadeye, Bullseye. We talk about that all the time out here on X and here on the Aaron Flint Show, is voting. Is not only people making sure they always vote in every election from dog catcher to president. It doesn't matter what it is, you vote. And most importantly are these judicial races. The off-year elections, you have got to make sure and vote in all of them. And here's the second thing. You got to know who you're voting for. And I can tell you right now, I do this all the time. I see people on these ballots. I don't know who they are. I've never heard their names. They're running for this judge and this city council and this thing and that and the other thing and this legislator and that legislator. I don't know who they are. But you can bet your bottom dollar I'm going to sit down. I'm going to take 5 minutes or 10 minutes and either look them up or I'm going to ring up Aaron Flint. You know, or somebody I know that is really in on Montana politics, and I'm going to say, hey, who is this guy? What's the deal here? And I get the rundown on who this person is. I never vote for somebody. I never just fill in an oval when I don't know who they are, and I also never just leave an oval blank because I'm not going to take that 5-10 minutes to figure out who it is. If you're not voting, You are handing over your piece of the pie to everybody else. You don't have any skin in this game anymore. You have no right to complain for the next 2 years, 4 years, 6 years. Just be quiet because you handed it all over. You relinquished it. You have to vote in every election. I tell you, today when, you know, it's all mail-in voting, like you don't even have hardly polling places even open anymore. It's not like it used to be when we were all growing up, right? Where, you know, there was that one day to vote. And say if you're working during that day, you got to go before work or after work or try to sprint there at your lunchtime. And it's, you know, you go in there in person and it could be a hassle if there's lines and all that stuff. That doesn't exist anymore. I mean, it's all mail-in voting. That thing comes right to your house. Once you've registered for mail-in voting, every election that comes up for your district, a ballot gets sent to your house. All you got to do is open it up, fill in the oval, and send it back in. Put a stamp on that bad boy and send it back in. This is not hard stuff. But for some reason, we've got a lot of conservative voters out here, conservative people, that won't do it. For whatever reason, they're not interested right now. They don't care about this race or that race or the other race. So, you know, what do I care? You know, I'm going to vote for my congressman, my senator, and my president, you know, maybe my governor. That's it. You know, I don't really care about the rest of that stuff. Let me tell you, everything that concerns really a lot of your way of life is being determined by your city council, by these judges. Those are the two biggies that people take their eyes off of, that are controlling your lives without you even knowing it. See, here's the thing about Montana. The media here is awful. They're way understaffed, first of all. They don't have enough personnel here. And the ones that are here pretty much cover the thing from the liberal point of view. So they're not ever going to tell you these things. They're not ever going to report to you how that city council just screwed you over and raised your taxes. They're not ever going to point out how that judge issued a ridiculous ruling that's not in any way compatible with the law just because they're a leftist. You're never going to get that reporting. It's never going to come out in the newspapers, on the local TV news, anything. I found that really hard. I don't know about you guys. It seems to be a lot of information out here. I can get a lot of information at my fingertips about national politics. But, man, it is hard to get daily, good, unbiased political information here about Montana, state and local. I've talked to Aaron about that a lot of times, man. I'm like, how do you get this information? See, now all the newspapers here, they're all behind a paywall, right? You try to go online and look at something, and I mean, they want you to pay just to read an article. Well, I mean, who's going to do that? Nobody's doing that. And, you know, nobody gets the paper delivered to them anymore. So where are you going to get a paper? Oh, I got to find a supermarket or a store somewhere that sells the paper. And now you got. I mean, it's really hard to do that, particularly when you disagree with that paper to begin with. So you don't want to give them a daily 50, 75 cents or whatever it is. You're not going to contribute to them. If y'all, I'd like any of y'all out there, send a message in here. Give me your information about where you get your up-to-date Montana political news. I'd really like to know, because I need a good source for it, and I haven't found one. I know Aaron gets a lot of the stuff sent to him by people out there, because he's the host here of Montana Talk, so he doesn't have any problem getting people to pass him information. But see, I'm just a no-name nobody, so nobody sends me anything. You know, I have to go out and try to find it myself. So I'm in the same lot you guys are in. And I don't, also, like I said a minute ago, I don't trust these mainstream outlets to give me the real scoop about anything. I want to hear it from the insiders, some kind of insider people that can tell you exactly what's going on. No, this is the real scoop. This is what happened. This is where this is headed. And, man, you can't get any reporting out of the Capitol, right? You can't, you know, like when the legislature's in, you can't get any real reporting about this bill, that bill, the other bill, what's going on. And Aaron does a lot of that here on his show. You have to be listening to the Aaron Flint show to get those updates and get what's going on. I want to be able to find that stuff myself too, and get all into it, so I can share it with you guys, you know, here on the radio show and out here on X. You know, I can put it out to you guys as well. Y'all call in here and tell me what's your source for Montana news. I really want to hear about it. Somebody that's good, up to date, is talking about this stuff every day and gives you the straight scoop, because that's what I try to do on my X page, that very same thing. So,
this is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
As we move into the new year, what does the weather have in store for farmers and ranchers across Montana and the West? Recently, I sat down with agricultural meteorologist Brian Bledsoe to learn what's in his forecast for the coming weeks and months.
The fact that Montana is in close proximity to this cold air and this moisture source region that's going to continue to recycle itself over Western Canada, it puts Montana in a pretty significant risk for a lot more winter weather going through, just January and in February. And I think it's important to note that while that's happening, and kind of while we're benefiting, if you will, from that La Nina pattern, we are going to be changing things in a significant way in the Pacific Ocean. So this La Nina episode has basically peaked. We'll mess around with this for probably about another month, but I'm expecting La Nina to be out of here as soon as late January. And we're going to have a real small window, I think, of neutrality there, where it's not going to be La Nina or El Nino. And then we're going into an El Nino a little bit later on this year, maybe as early as May, even if it doesn't show up as May, I think, for the heart of the summer. So I think the message is we are going to see some significant changes in the Pacific, and whenever that happens, that usually means we're going to see some significant changes and some impacts as far as weather is concerned, you know, certainly for the rest of this winter.
For his entire forecast, check out the Lancast Ag Podcast, Conversation with meteorologist Brian Bledsoe. I'm Lane Norton.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Hey, got a message in here from Perry in Columbus. He And he says, we are under siege from communists. Their five main targets, religion, they want to be your God. Family, they want to own the children. Schools, Common Core AI, creating robots, not thinkers. Media and the courts have been taken over by people who think the Constitution is toilet paper. This is where all of our problems come from. We have to rip it from the roots. Nothing else will fix this. People need to be punished. 100%. And we have been taught that basic point. We've probably been on that point for, God, 10, 15 years. I mean, all of that, talking about it forever. And what I always say about this, you see a lot of people out here on social media that will tell you that these communists and their regimes like Barack Obama and Joe Biden, and you know who the people out here are in the States and these big national Democrats. You're told by people online that, oh, they did all of this for a reason. This is all 5D chess, and they're just like the most brilliant people in the world. They're plotting our destruction 10 moves ahead and all this stuff. I'm here to tell you they're not. These people are not smart people. They're pretty stupid, actually. But what they are, what they have going for them more than anything is, first of all, they're ruthless politicians. Absolutely ruthless in every way. But then they are relentless. They are relentless in pursuing their agenda. Meaning you can beat them now. You can vote them down now. You can kill that bill, kill that agenda item that they're trying to do, but they'll be back. And it doesn't matter if it's 2 years, 4 years, 30 years. They'll be back. How long were they trying to do Obamacare, to take over the American healthcare system, to throw a major wrench into it? They were trying to do that since, what, the 50s, the 60s? Hillary Clinton tried to do it 30 years ago again with Hillary Care. They will just keep on coming. They never, ever stop. And they are not worried about pesky elections and pesky polls and all of that. They're going to tell you what you need, what you want. They're not listening to you. They're just going to push this on you, period. That's how they win. Because we can have Republicans up there that are the brightest minds in the world, but if they're not relentless, if they're not all about agenda, they're going to lose. And if they're not ruthless, they're going to lose. And this is a key break in political philosophy that everybody needs to wrap their heads around, is that we, almost all of us in the conservative tent, almost all of us are Judeo-Christian moral good people. That's the way we were brought up. And believe it or not, that cripples you when you are dealing with these people. You have to be able to separate those beliefs when you are dealing with criminals. And police officers and law enforcement, you know, I had to deal with that for 30 years. I mean, because you are a good person, you want to be a good person, but you know this right here is the only way evil is defeated. The only way evil is stopped or pushed back in any way is this way right here. You trying to reason with it and be nice to it and play by the rules is not going to stop it. That's where all of us, I find myself in that sometimes too. We all go wrong out here because, see, the left, they have no rules. They have no morals. They have no code. It is all about winning no matter what. You saw that presented to you for 4 years. of Joe Biden. They were going to do whatever they were going to do. They were going to spend that money. They were going to invade your country with illegals. They were going to close the place down with an infectious flu. And they didn't care what you thought about it. We're running the place now, peasants. And you're going to do what we say. And any attempt to stop that through playing the gentleman is going to fail. Like the analogy I always use is that even Mike Tyson himself could not win if he walks into the ring with a guy with a gun in his hand. You think Mike Tyson's going to win that fight? The guy could be a 150-pound weakling. Mike is going to lose because he's not willing. He wasn't willing to carry a gun into that ring, too. He thought this was a boxing match. He thought this was had referees and rules and all that good stuff. Well, not anymore. All that's over. But as long as we've got people like Mike Jensen and John Thune up there playing by the rules, we're going to keep getting beaten. This is a really odd story. It's a really horrible story out of, I think it's California. I saw this the other day on X, and you know how you see a headline, and you think to yourself, that can't be real. That's just Twitter BS, because there is really so much BS out there on Twitter. It's just full of people who are fakers and clickbaiters and say stuff that's not true just to get people to click on their stuff. And so a lot of this stuff you disregard. I saw this headline the other day that shark attack, and witnesses saw the body, a human body, in a shark's mouth. You're like, oh, man, wait, God, I mean, that can't be real. So I never heard anything more until this morning. And now we've got this story out of the New York Post, and it's real. The headline is "Remains of Missing Triathlete Found in Santa Cruz After Shark Spotted with Human Body in Its Mouth." This poor lady, her name is Erica Fox, and her body was found Saturday afternoon still in her black wetsuit south of Davenport Beach in Santa Cruz, about 25 miles from where she was last seen. She was swimming about 100 yards out with 13 other members of a swimming club on December 21st when a shark dragged her under. Oh, I mean, and witnesses saw this. Saw her body in the shark's mouth before it submerged. This lady, there's a picture of this lady. She's obviously a very, very athletic triathlete. Amazing stuff. And you know what? Likely, I mean, once again, call in here if I'm wrong about this, but she's wearing a wetsuit. And she was probably initially killed by this shark, probably bitten very, very hard and killed, taken under and probably drowned. But then what happened is the shark got a taste of that rubber of her wetsuit, and understood that this is not my prey. This is something that I don't want to eat. And they've seen that what sharks will do in the wild with divers is they'll come up and bump you. They'll come up and sideswipe you. And I was told by these biologists that's what they're doing is tasting you. They can taste you through their skin. And they get a taste of that rubber wetsuit and like, yuck. And then, you know, that's not meat. That's not something good to eat. I think I'll go on to something else. That's very likely why her body was found and it was not devoured by the shark. But, oh, nasty, nasty news there. You hate to hear that. That's all of our fears, right? You human beings have this ancestral creepy fear of being eaten by an animal. And it's got to be from the time we were cavemen, where we had to run away from the saber-toothed tigers and all that stuff. But you can talk about murders and suicides and all that nasty death stuff all the time out here. But if you have a story out here about a grizzly bear that killed and ate somebody, a shark, just like this story that you know, killed somebody, was trying to eat them, that grips the consciousness. People pay attention to that. People click on that because you're like, there's just something about it, that fear. Humans can't even imagine that here in, what are we, we're almost to 2026 now, and you're still in a lot of environments, you're not the top of the food chain. And you got to be really careful out there, or that big bad predator will come up and take a bite of you and kill you just about every chance he gets. And it's a lot of times it's not a very pleasant death. It's not going to come quick. It's going to be nasty.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You guys remember back during the Grandpa Biden regime, remember all his attempts to take your tax money to the tune of hundreds of billions of dollars and use it to pay off everybody's student loans out here? Yeah, you remember that? These people that all, they signed the paperwork. They knew what they were getting into. They knew what the interest rate was and all of that. But then, by God, we should have to turn around years later and pay off their student loans. After all of us, we had to pay off our student loans. If you got any, we had to pay off our car loans. We have to pay off our home loans. But all of a sudden, because big elections are coming up, the Biden regime wanted to buy votes with your tax money by, you know, the youth vote mostly, because a lot of these people are, you say, 20 to 35 years old, and try to buy their votes by paying off their student loans. And it was a massive outcry back then of outrage from people. And the courts, the Supreme Court, had to come back twice and shoot down Joe Biden, because they shot him down once and said it's illegal. The president doesn't have the authority to do that. And then they just turned around and tried another way to do it and got shot down again. Well, see, all of that is coming to a head, and people have been talking about this bubble out here. You guys remember the housing bubble back in 08. They're talking about the credit card bubble out here of the, God, no, I didn't even know the count on it anymore, of the amount of credit card debt there is out here that people think may never get paid back. And this student loan bubble, about all of that money that's out there that, you know, it doesn't look like it's going to get paid back. People are just not doing it, or they're doing it the barest minimum every couple of weeks just to comply. But of course, paying it off at that rate, they're never going to pay it off. You follow me? Well, the Trump administration announced just prior to Christmas that they're going to begin garnishing the wages of defaulted student loan borrowers. That's the people that are not even doing the bare minimum, the people that are not just getting that bare, you know, whatever it is, monthly payment out there, the barest minimum. They're not even doing that. They've defaulted. Well, they're going to start finding your wages and start to garnish them. And oof, so I tell you something, the federal government should never, ever have been in any kind of business of lending money out here. These student loans, these home loans, all of this stuff, this Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac BS, never, ever should have been allowed. That's one thing that the Trump administration, as true conservatives, should put an end to right now. Like, no more of this should happen. And it's really just basic common sense, okay? Banks out here will lend you money. Why? Because there's profit in it for them. It's their money they're lending you. So you are going to have to jump through all their hoops they want. You're going to have to prove to them that you are capable of paying this back. And there are laws out here for them to recuperate that money from you if you decide to screw them over and not pay them back, right? It's a business. But see, the federal government, with any kind of loans they hand out, whether it's student loans or home loans, whatever that is out there, that's not their money. It's your money that they're lending out. So what skin off their back is it if they just say, you know, oh, we're going to forgive that, or we're collecting it, but we're really not ever going to collect it because we're giving this guy, we're letting him pay it off $200 a month. You know, for the next 50 years. In other words, this is never getting paid off. He's not even making a dent in the interest payment. It's all just a sham. It's all vote buying with your money that the government is never going to see back. That's why I always laugh. You see, that's the refuge of all these crooked politicians when they talk about foreign aid. You've seen it used with Ukraine. When they talk about, we're going to give Ukraine a loan. We're going to loan it to them. We're not giving the money to them. It's a loan. Okay, here's me as an NFL referee pulling my BS flag out of my back pocket and whistle 15 yards on the offense. Complete BS. Okay, because do you think Ukraine is ever going to pay that money back? Do you think they're ever going to be asked to pay it back? No. It's your politicians lying to you. And guys, I'll leave you with this one last thing. We're $38 trillion in debt. We don't have the money to do any of this. Not one thing out here. Anytime your people in Congress stand up and say, it doesn't matter what it is, this, that, and the other thing, this, that, I would do that. No, you don't have the money. It's like Dave Ramsey says, if your family household is $3 million in debt, you can't go out to eat. You can't go to the movies. You can't go on a vacation. You're sitting and eating rice and beans for the next 10 years until this is paid off, period. Well, hey, this is Jai Jackson. Had a great time with you guys this morning. We will see you back here tomorrow. And we're going to have Greg Franks in here for 2 hours. See you then.